Have a word of prayer as we come to study God's word together. We've just been singing a wonderful truth. Nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. We thank you, Lord, for this truth, and we look forward to that day. And we pray now that as we look at your word, that you would teach us something new, that you would indeed give us hope when everything seems lost. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. One of the last songs that Paul McCartney wrote before the breakup of the Beatles in 1970 was The Long and Winding Road, inspired, in his words, by the calm beauty of Scotland. And the words of the song, which I guess perhaps some of you know well, go like this. The long and winding road that leads to your door will never disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me here, leads me to your door. I picked up on a comment someone had made on these words, and this is what he said. I have identified with this song in my search for life's meaning in biblical and many other sources. This to me is a cry to the Almighty as to why I and doubtless others are led to a certain point only to be left high and dry, depressed and still searching. And in the last line of verse 2 of this song is a question. Why leave me standing here? Let me know the way. Paul McCartney said of his song, it's the way it feels to leave things unfinished. With Jesus, things have been finished. Jesus says of himself, I am the way to the Father. No one comes to him except through me. John 14, verse 6. And the long and winding road of our lives both leads to Jesus and has Jesus as our companion on life's road, here on earth, and then beyond. That's if we choose it that way. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Then the wonderful promise, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Now, I've broken this talk into what I've called four prayer headings. So I hope these will be helpful to you in a general sense and also with regard to this passage. And please don't be alarmed. The first is the longest, okay? So let's see how we go on this. And I think I've perhaps tweaked one or two of the verses as I've studied this week, but anyway, let's see how we go. So my first prayer pointer is, Lord, please help me to see you alongside me, especially in difficult and sorrowful times. So if you'd like to follow along with me where I'm hoping to take us, it's page 1061 in the Pew Bible. So have a look at these verses as we go. So first of all, verses 13 to 24. And I see a kind of echo, I can't think of a better word, but an echo in verses 36 to 43. That's our first pointer. So, Lord, please help me to see you alongside, especially in difficult and sorrowful times. Now, there is a world of difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing him. And Luke demonstrates this in this profound yet simple account of the two men on their long and winding journey on the Emmaus Road. And we are simply told that one of the men is called Cleopas, verse 18. So let's join these two discouraged and despondent followers of Jesus walking to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, I don't know whether you walk much, but 7 miles is a long way. And that gives you plenty of time to talk. So picture these two men, totally absorbed in deep conversation as they walked. And Jesus draws alongside them. And verse 16, they were kept from recognizing, whatever that implies. And we can't be sure of what that means. But verse 17, Jesus asks them what they're discussing. Verse 18, ironically, they think that he's in the dark. They speak about Jesus in the past tense. He was a prophet, verse 19. He was crucified, verse 20. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel, verse 21. That's quite a phrase, isn't it? We had hoped. Christian broadcaster David Winter sees that there is something really awful about crushing disappointment, the death of dreams, the harsh reality of exposing the emptiness sometimes of our hopes. And we have all hoped for a loved one's recovery, hoped for ourselves, hoped for our children, hoped for our grandchildren, for our country, for our world. We have hoped, and sometimes that hope has been cruelly dashed by events. Luke paints a vivid picture of an overwhelming sense of loss and these men being alone. And the cross has seen to that. Jesus no longer could be fitted into the picture of their lives. Now, I think there's a profound parallel here for each one of us this morning. And a question arises in my mind. Do we recognize Jesus alongside us? Hard work, routine, tiredness, ill health, unhappiness can so grind us down that we rarely lift our eyes or our minds from the dusty road. We run on empty most of the time. And yet, like the two on the Emmaus Road, there is nothing quite like the experience of being deep in conversation with a Christian brother or sister, sharing your deepest needs, fears, problems, and although not at first, but perhaps later, realizing that Jesus has come alongside, bringing peace, insight, and wisdom, even joy amidst your sorrow. And I think that's why it's so important in difficult times to stay in the fellowship of the church and to resist the urge to hide away and return when your troubles have passed. I think our community hub cafe on Friday mornings in the JOB has and already is helping with this. Let me encourage you to be there on Friday mornings if you can. And here we can share and see Jesus taking hold of us and sharing our problems with us. Have a look at verse 36. Jesus' greeting of peace startles them, looking as they had seen a ghost, with the invitation to touch and see his hands and feet. And yes, it is really him. He is risen from the dead. And as if this wasn't enough, he asks for something to eat in their presence. So that's our first prayer pointer. Lord, please help me to see you alongside, especially in difficult and sorrowful times. That's a good prayer, day by day. So let's have a look at my second one here. Lord, please open the scriptures so that I can see you. Verses 25 to 27. And they're echoed, I think, in verses 44 to 46. Have a look down at those verses. St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Now, Jesus certainly believed this, and this explains why he opened up the word of God to the men on the road as they walked. No doubt they could have kept talking for days or weeks or months and still not made sense of these events. What they needed was a fresh understanding, and Jesus, ever patient, gave just that to them. Verse 44, the Old Testament points to Jesus in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And I'm sure that they would have seen Jesus through the prophet Isaiah as the suffering servant promised. And now, there he is, standing in the midst of them. That's why the Bible is so important in all that we do. The death and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is central to the Christian faith. You cannot be a Christian otherwise. That he is alive means that we too can experience his presence with us now and in eternity. So, another good prayer, perhaps each day. Lord, please open the scriptures so that I may see you. Now, my third one. Lord, please reveal yourself to me in the breaking of bread. Now, verses 28 to 31 cover this. So, let's have a look at those verses. So, we see Jesus carefully opening the scriptures to these two men, but will they be swayed and persuaded? Will they be able to look up from their own feelings of despair, desolation, disappointment, and doubt? And will they recognize the risen Christ? Would you? Would I? I can only conclude that it was more about being unable than unwilling to recognize him. Understandably, they were so wrapped up in themselves. Jesus, the stranger, is pressed into enjoying the hospitality of these men. Verse 29, they urged him strongly, which was the custom regarding enjoying the hospitality of the invitation to hospitality. Verse 29, they urged him strongly, and this was the custom, apparently, so I read anyway, of the way hospitality is invited and accepted. Verse 29, they urged him strongly. I've read that it was seen as good manners to accept when you're pressed. And that, I think, is worth noting, just in case we think that Jesus is deceiving them by pretending to go further. Do you see what I'm saying there? Verse 28, the stranger comes to sit at table. He gives thanks. He breaks the bread. He gives it to them. They recognize him. Of course, verse 32, they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? The disciples, perhaps remembering the Last Supper Jesus had with them. Maybe this was the same upper room, we're not told. But what we realize here, that the penny finally drops. Today and every day, millions of Christians across the world will meet with Jesus in this simple act of broken bread and outpoured wine. And we should be doing that at 8 Ash Green a little later on. And perhaps I can ask you, why not follow along and come to that communion service? Another angle of this, of course, is that we are commended in the scriptures to practice hospitality. A couple of references here, Romans 12, 13 and 1 Peter 4, verse 9. And with this kind of fellowship, Jesus' presence can often be felt. How many times have you shared a meal with your Christian brothers and sisters, and you realize that Jesus is present? He's your unseen guest. So there we have, Lord, reveal yourself to me in the breaking of bread. And then finally, Lord, please open my mouth that I might speak for you. And in this time of evangelism in many churches across our land, it's good to look at these verses in that context. Lord, please open my mouth that I may speak for you. This is verses 33 to 35, and I see an echo of these verses in 47 to 49. You see, after the revelation came the work of telling others. And that's the work of evangelism. After the revelation of Jesus to us, we have the work of telling others. Because verse 34 is a great standalone verse. It is true. The way of the cross and resurrection of Jesus changed lives then and does today. Now, sometimes we can be a bit troubled by our testimonies. And sometimes they can be met with skepticism or indifference. But I have to say, a simple and true testimony is taken by the Holy Spirit, and he uses it in ways that we often don't realize. So we should be encouraged to go and tell. Your experience as a Christian might be difficult to put into words, or you might think that. And you might feel it's insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But remember from this passage, this morning, God seeks to use the conversation of these two men, one unnamed, on a dusty road, to speak to our hearts. That's how important it is. And in the light of verses 45 to 49, our testimony should be, yes, we believe in the Jesus of the Bible. He lived, he suffered, he died for our sins, and he rose again and has returned to heaven. And that with Jesus there is forgiveness for our sins. And this message is to be carried and told throughout the whole world. Let me finish with some more words from David Winter. I like his writing. What the disciples discovered at the supper table is that things aren't necessarily as we think they are. The unexpected isn't always a disappointment. Sometimes, to our surprise, it's better than anything that we could have imagined. I really like that. I find that encouraging. And in verse 49, Jesus spoke of sending what his Father had promised, the Holy Spirit, the continuing presence of Christ for his ongoing work. It was for his followers then. He told his followers, you must wait in the city for the Holy Spirit to come. You and I need God's Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit is now freely available to us this very morning. And I finish with a simple prayer. Now, you might well have prayed this prayer before, but if you haven't, maybe now's the time to do it. It's a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, please walk with me on the long and winding road of my life. Amen. Let's just pray together, shall we? Let's just use these little prayer headings. Lord Jesus, please help us to see you alongside us, especially in difficult and sorrowful times. Lord Jesus, when we open our Bibles and when we read your word, help us to see you for who you are and what you have done for us. Lord Jesus, when we break bread in fellowship meals, be our unseen guest. And when we break bread in the Holy Communion service, please reveal yourself afresh to us. We pray this especially for ourselves at 8 Ash Green this morning. And Lord Jesus, help us to speak about you and for you from our own experience. Encourage us to speak in our everyday language of what you are to each one of us. And may your Holy Spirit use our testimonies so that others might find you and love you and serve you and follow you. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, please walk with me on the long and winding road of my life. Amen.